it's another side that like wants to take more, wants to go that one more round. Because like, going that one more round when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Welcome to another episode of One More Round, the Rocky Series podcast. I'm your host, and with me today is Katie and Kyle. For me, it was a long week. I was in Ottawa, Canada, the capital of Canada, searching for a house for my new job that I'll be doing in, well, it looks like we're moving a little bit earlier. We're entering the house June 15th, so it's just around the corner, very soon.
Very soon, yes.
So we'll be traveling on the road. It's the first couple days of June, 10-day travel across the road. We get 10 days to travel across Canada. Very busy. It's going to be crazy. I'm hoping we can still release the same amount of episodes we released, but just kind of give that as a heads up to anyone listening to our show that if there's a bit of a break or the schedule seems off, don't panic. I'm moving across the country, a military move. Well, the house is great. We're looking forward to it. And right now, if you see in the background, if you watch this on YouTube, yeah, I'm in the garage, the new house. I will have a proper little studio dedicated to, not even a studio, it's a room. It's a den. I think it's an office den, but I'm going to use it as my podcasting recording room, and it'll be nice stuff behind me. I feel great. Katie, we'll start with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well also. If that's your garage though, Ryan, that's a pretty sweet garage. You guys would not want to see my garage. But yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a little cluttered. We set it up so it's actually, yeah, right here is the desk, but behind this desk is like the fridge, our second fridge and freezer. And we've really made it so it's like a second little room. Yeah, we've made it a kind of a room. But Kyle, how are you doing on Mars?
I'm doing good. The oxygen hasn't run out here, which is nice.
When you get a new camera, I wonder if people are going to miss the red, you know?
Yeah, it's just, it won't feel like me. It'll feel like I'm some sort of imposter.
That's hilarious. Yeah, who was that? Chris, right? So yeah, I think Chris will miss your red. Okay, well, we got a big show today, so we're going to kind of, before we get into the show, I want to announce on this episode, because this episode will be released after, if you're listening to this episode on the standalone feed of One More Round, because I do a standalone feed that's not on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast feed as well. So whatever feed you're listening to this on, even if you're listening to us on YouTube, wherever you listen to us, there's a few places people can listen to us. Katie started a new podcast. Katie's new podcast is called the Retro Made, or just Retro Made podcast. I had the privilege and the honor to be invited and to be the first guest on the first episode. And it was an absolute blast to do that with you, Katie. But I want to plug your show. I'm going to do it for you because you're going to be too shy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Ryan's dumb. She's shy.
Yeah. Good one, Kyle.
That's absolutely, that's perfect. That's legit. So people are saying on Facebook, yeah, Katie. Again, if you're watching this on Facebook and comment on Facebook, you don't have to. But as you can see, when I bring up the comment, it doesn't say your name. It keeps you private. So you can go ahead and tag your name after you want, if you want to. So somebody on Facebook said, yeah, Katie. I'll make sure I'll give the show notes with that episode, with this episode to our episode. But your first episode will not be on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast. Like, it won't be on the network per se. You're certainly welcome to be on it. It's your show, is all I'm trying to say. But the first episode, at the very least, will be on it because it's covering Big Trouble in Little China. I'm on it, and I want you to get as much exposure as you can. And so everyone that listens to that episode, go back if you see it. That's what it is. If you see this podcast on the feed called Retro Made, Big Trouble in Little China, it's Katie. It's Katie's show. And I think it's fantastic. So I just want to plug that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I very much appreciate that. And the first season, it obviously, it's just a little time capsule of movies from the 80s and 90s with lots of other pop culture from that time that the movie was released thrown in. But the first season, and so each season will have a theme. And the first season is about the ultimate everyman, Kurt Russell and Patrick Swayze. So yeah, the first episode was Big Trouble in Little China. So that's why there's a little bit of crossover with the Action Hero Network. You might hear a few other familiar voices from time to time as well. But yeah,
we hope
check
so.
It out, guys.
So. Yeah, there you go. Somebody on Facebook just said episode one is in the queue. There you go.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Katie, you're amazing. And, you know, I feel honored to have you on the show now. Kyle's got to have his own podcast now, so Kyle can start his own. Kyle, if you started a podcast,
if you had to,
Kyle, let's just say you had to do your own podcast solo when you could have any kind of show you want, what would you cover?
I don't know what I'd cover, but I would call it the Get Off My Lawn podcast.
I would listen to that.
Because I'm an old man at heart and want the kids to get off my lawn. I just complain about things. Maybe be a kind of a caricature of all the intergenerational bickering that we're doing right now. Like I'll be like a fake boomer or something like that. I just don't have the time or the motivation to actually
create. Get some more motivation.
I would totally listen because I'm kind of an old man at heart too, I guess.
Okay, well, maybe we'll start a podcast together one of these days.
Oh, man. We still have to do the Rocky films, then go into these boxing films. Are we doing that? We're really doing the boxing films too, eh?
Yeah, actually, I need to like send you guys the link so we can all compose in the Google Doc together.
So we'll be podcasting for the next 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there we go. Okay. Kyle's like,
I'm 76 years old.
I've podcasted it all.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So, Katie, we got a great email today. And let's read this one. This one was a fun one.
Yes. So we have an email from Bruce Lombard. Subject is feedback/questions for One More Round podcast. This was written just yesterday.
It came in on the wire. I was just arbitrarily checking the email. We don't get a lot of emails, believe it or not. We're not the biggest show in the world. And I was like, better check before we start recording. And lo and behold, it came in under the wire.
Bruce says, Ryan, Kyle, and Katie, hello and kudos to yous three on your fantastic One More Round podcast. I started listening to One More Round in late March 2023. All three of you do a terrific job on the podcast. You are all well-versed in the Rocky universe. Your great personalities complement each other, and you are all fun to listen to. For the record, you three are definitely not hand-picked ham and eggers. You are legitimate title contenders. Oh, wow. How sweet of you, Bruce.
It's very kind. We appreciate that. Appreciate it.
He says, I just turned 50 years old recently. Well, happy birthday. Yes. I have been a big fan of the Rocky film series my entire life. I have passed my fandom of the Rocky saga down to my three teenage sons. After seeing Creed 3 in March, my sons and I re-marathoned all of the Rocky and Creed films, which led me to seek out a Rocky-related podcast to listen to on Spotify, which thankfully allowed me to discover your One More Round series.
That's great. I just want to say I've done, because I create the show, and I've done the Rocky search, Rocky podcast search on these. We're not at the top. I don't know what it is you need to do to be in the algorithm for a Rocky podcast, but it's ridiculous what comes up before me. I've literally seen like Rocky Mountain podcasts beat me. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like someone's actually punching in Rocky podcasts, and there'll be Rocky Mountain bike podcasts or Rocky Mountains podcasts. So Bruce, thank you for going down the algorithm because he had to go deep. I'm telling you right now, maybe I'm wrong, but let us know, Bruce, but it wasn't like we're the first ones to come up. You would have to go.
To that point, Bruce, I found going the distance in a similar way. I just was interested in Rocky and searched, and there's a lot of stuff out there. And through trial and error, I found going the distance because there's some, they're not all awesome. Let's just say that.
No, I mean, not everyone could be One More Round, but yeah.
Okay. So thank you. Yes. He says, initially I thought a podcast that spends 18 plus episodes on a single film would be overkill, but I truly enjoy the scene by scene deep dives you take.
Well, let's be fair. It might be overkill, but he's still enjoying it.
So. Okay. So wife and I we have our coffee talk in the morning, and she was asking me, she's like, what's the subject of your podcast today? We don't really have a subject. Like we just like watch the film. And she was like, you do that every time? And I'm like, yeah, that's how it works.
Tell her to listen to the show every once in a while. Hard to explain to people. When you explain that that's like what we do, that's the format of the show, people can't picture it that don't listen. It does sound strange, but somehow it works.
It works.
So it was Jared that said, yay, Katie. Episode 1 is in the queue. Jared from the he's guest hosting on our show hyperspace. Before.
Yeah.
Hyperspace, 25th Century Podcasting in Hyperspace.
Thanks, Jared.
Jared's the sweetheart. He's the best. He's the best. It's the only derogatory thing I can say about him.
Mm-hmm. He's the best. Mm-hmm. So Bruce says, I will conclude with two random items and apologize in advance if you've already covered these topics in depth during previous shows. One, Four Roses Bourbon. In addition to binging the One More Round series, I have also been catching up on your older Going the Distance podcast episodes. In episode 13 of your Creed review series, Katie mentioned that she had been drinking Four Roses bourbon. Katie, do you still drink Four Roses or any other bourbon or whiskey on occasion? Yes, I do. I have a bottle of Four Roses, a big bottle in my house right now. He says, if so, do you prefer to drink bourbon neat or on the rocks or mixed into a cocktail? Definitely on the rocks, or I like old fashions. In fact, I had one yesterday.
Did you start drinking those after Mad Men?
You know what's funny is I grew up with old fashions being a drink that people drink.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They somehow in the last however many years kind of made a resurgence. Every bar has that on their menu.
Don Draper drinks old fashions. I want to be like Don Draper too.
I do too.
If I drink old fashions, then I will become just like him.
Okay. I think I need to rewatch that. Yeah.
Oh, so, Mad Men's a great series. What I love about Mad Men, real quick, really real quick segue. What I loved about it, of course, his behavior or something was pretty deplorable, but the way he spoke, the way he was able to control a conversation, and just I try to learn from, I know it's just a TV show, but of course there's humans writing it, right? These characters. And the way he's able to just not let people push him around, and the way he can be so articulate the way he speaks, it's just like, man, I wish I could speak like that. Anyways.
He is a man, isn't he? Yes.
Oh, man. John Hamm in real life is such a goof and such a character. Like, he's such a nice guy, and he plays such a dick.
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is what it's called acting, I believe. Okay.
Right. Imagine that.
Imagine that. Okay.
Bruce says, I'm a wannabe bourbon aficionado and lost my bourbon virginity to Four Roses several years ago after my wife gifted me a bottle of Four Roses single barrel for one of our anniversaries. After I became a bourbon fan during subsequent viewings of Rocky films, it was a real kick in the pants to notice that Polly was drinking Four Roses, though the bottle and the bourbon itself are much different nowadays. Back then, the quality of Four Roses that Polly drank was reportedly awful. The Uncle TNUC blog site summed it up best in the following excerpt from a December 2014 post.
Polly drinks this brand of Four Roses, right? This is what he drinks when he's carrying this around his jacket or whatever at work. So what he's done now is Bruce has pulled up a review of Four Roses.
Yeah, it's the excerpt is, these days, Four Roses is a respected bourbon, but there was a time when it was basically known as a homeless booze.
Nice. You could probably find some Four Roses from the 70s if you really wanted to.
Oh, wow.
Spirits don't age like wine once they're out of the barrel. Once a spirit is in a glass bottle, it will purportedly taste the same 20 years later.
Interesting. Oh,
really? Unlike wine, which is not really the case.
It would be an interesting taste test because I have like the current day Four Roses right now. And that, it'd be an interesting little, basically known as homeless booze. Before 2002, the Four Roses brand was used on a blended whiskey. So it was seen as subpar to other bourbons. This, of course, happened to be during Polly's love affair with Four Roses, as he's seen taking swigs of his bottle at the meatpacking facility, on the street, and just about anywhere he pleases. So then Bruce says, I've provided the link to the complete blog post below if you want to read more about Polly, whom Uncle TNUC named Deadbeat of the Month in December 2014.
Polly got Deadbeat of the Month. That's great.
Well, here in Canada, Royal Reserve Whiskey is the really shit brand bottom shelf whiskey.
Okay. I'm unfamiliar with it, but that's not saying a whole lot.
I'm a real wuss when it comes to bourbon. Bourbon gives you heartburn. Like, it's too smoky or whatever.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a good recommendation from Louise here. He said, I think it might be time for you guys to start doing Beast Aftershave commercials and get some eyes and ears on the podcast. Yeah.
Great. I can read, so I think I could do it. So
I'll write the dummy cards. Katie, you'll be one of the girls in the safari outfits.
Ryan, it's 2023, for Christ's sake.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Katie will read it. I'll be one of the girls in the bikini.
No, as we've determined, I can't read.
Well, we could also change the name, Brian. Since it's going to be a female aftershave, we can call it Yeast Aftershave.
Oh, God. Oh.
Women used to take a dab of themselves in that area and put it on their necks. Because of the pheromones would attract men. They did a study where men would smell women's shirts, where women would be sweating in the shirts. And by far, the women who are ovulating, the men like that smell the best. So yeast aftershave may work better than you think it does.
I recently, like within the last few months, was listening to a podcast where that apparently is a thing that some women are doing.
Oh, is that right? They put a little dab of themselves?
Like when they go out for the night to try and pick up a man. I don't know. There's a term for it, and somebody probably knows. If somebody knows in the chat, it's like V something.
A little dab will do you.
interesting. We are all just...
We are animals.
Apes, yeah.
Yeah,
we are.
He's provided the link. Oh, Four Roses remains one of my favorite bourbons, and I've even visited Four Roses Distillery in Lawrenceburg, that's Kentucky, right, back in 2018. Whoa. Well, that's super cool.
Guy is for real.
Yeah.
I know. Wow.
So he poses a question. What are your, for us three, what are your potent potables of choice?
I'm such a lightweight. I don't really drink. If you offer it, and I'm at a, you know, I'll drink it. Like, if you're paying for it, I'll drink. You know, I don't really care. My wife doesn't drink, so I don't like to drink alone. So it's more like at a party or something. But then I always drive at these parties. I don't ever drink. I have a zero alcohol policy whenever I'm behind a wheel. I don't care. I just said zero. So anyways, I don't drink very often. But when I did or when I do, and if I, or if I had to, I definitely like hard liquor the best. I just like a good shot of vodka with cranberry, orange juice, things like that.
Okay.
And rum and Coke. It's my favorite. I could down those forever.
Like spiced rum? Captain Morgan?
Morgan, sure. Yeah. Yeah. So those are my kind of go-to favorites for fun and a little bit, you know, if I'm going to feel wobbly in the head, I like to get there quicker.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Kyle?
First of all, I love drinking alone. It's the best.
Oh, really?
Because I love my own company. I like socializing with people. I'm meeting up with an old coworker today for a beer.
Nice.
But I also like drinking alone. I'm an introvert at heart. I need my me time sometimes to just be with myself. And sometimes I like to have a drink or two. I like beer. I generally get like imported. Like I can't drink like Bud Light or anything like that.
Don't like it, do you mean?
Yeah. Like that's not a shot at the Americans. There's like Molson Canadian is horse piss too. there's like these German beers that I like.
Like what?
Radberger Pilsner, Radeberger. Okay. I think in Germany, it's probably a shit beer, but like compared to our beers, it's actually pretty good. I'm not super into the craft beer scene. Like I'll drink craft beer, but I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then wine, I don't mind. Like I like red wine or I'll like a sparkling white wine is fine, but I'm not a huge wine guy. For hard alcohol, I like whiskey, but not necessarily bourbon. Not that I'm against it. I just find that, like, I'll have heartburn and indigestion if I have bourbon. I don't know why. For cheap drink, like Crown Royal or something like that is fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or it's pretty good. Canadian whiskey in general is quite a bit more mild than bourbon. There's one called Gibson's Finest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the silver and the gold, and I like the gold the best. It's, like, aged, like, 12 years. Like, it's pretty smooth.
Nice.
And I used to not be able to drink alcohol straight, but I'll drink it neat now. And then I could drink Captain Morgan spiced rum like it's Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. But, like, it's not that strong, but like I could just drink it straight. Like I got to be real careful or else I'll be like blitzed. I can't drink like I used to in my 20s or whatever. Like I'll have a couple beers, sure, and then I'm done. The whole rest of my day's ruined. So I'm more apt to sip and actually enjoy the flavors of alcohol, right, than before, rather than just taking shots to get loaded.
Yeah. I feel like the lush of the group.
You are a bit of a lush. That's the reason for it.
I like to day drink, and I'm American, so I like my ice. That's why, definitely, you know, we have a thing with ice here, I guess. Yeah, I'm kind of an equal opportunity drinker because I do drink fairly regularly. I like a day drinking in the summer, too. I do consider the calories in what I'm drinking. Vodka is a go-to, vodka and sparkling water.
I'm sorry, someone's comment here on Facebook is a comment.
What was it? I missed it.
It's right there. I put it there. It says, imagine if someone's just tuning in. It's like an AA meeting.
Oh.
That was from Alistair. Alistair.
Right. Oh, that sounds British.
It might be. Alistair, where are you from? That is a British name, isn't it?
Yes.
God Save the King. There you go. The new king was crowned.
Actually, didn't the coronation? Just yesterday. Yeah. But yeah.
All right.
But yeah, fun. I also like bubbly. It's kind of my go-to.
Katie, you are the lush. Put this way, when we meet up one day in the future, 5, 10, 20 years, whatever it is, when we have one more round physical reunion, we'll raise a glass.
I'll get drunk as shit with you, Katie. It's cool.
Okay, cool. I'm like, we'll have to twist Ryan's arm to have a beverage.
Oh, no, I'm not. Yeah.
No, Ryan will drive us home. It'll be fine.
Yeah, that's true. We'll Uber. It's going to be an Uber night. It's going to be an Uber.
For sure, Uber. Yeah, thankfully. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Oh, my God. So back to the email. So, Bruce, you've really set us off this morning.
this is why we like our emails too. Obviously, if they're old, this big and long, we can't read them all. But this is a great one. We only had one. I think it's great conversations. Yeah.
Alistair just said he is a Brit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Two. And I saw Luis posted, it's called vabbing, the thing I was trying to think of that Kyle brought up. Yeah. Thank you for that. We are very much all over the place this morning, but so Bruce's second point is Mac Lee Green. I was curious if you three or any of your listeners know the identity of the person whose photo was used in the first Rocky movie to represent Mac Lee Green.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I was trying to remember where we see him, and Bruce says
it's in the bar
during one of the TV news reports. The canceled fight with Apollo, there is a still image of Green in the background. Green appears to be a white man with a mustache. Some random person online speculated that this could be a picture of Chuck Wepner himself, but I don't think that the photo looks like Wepner.
No.
I've included a link to the Historica wiki page that includes a screenshot of Green from the scene I mentioned. And so I did look at it, and I think it does kind of look like Wepner.
It kind of does, but it's hard to say. I'm not a big Wepner nut that I could say that as a young
Wepner. It's probably not him.
This is a job for AI. Where you do like some facial recognition software and be like, all right, ChatGPT or whatever you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Find out who this guy is.
To answer your question, Bruce, no, we don't know who it is.
No.
I don't know why, but for some reason in my head, I always thought Mac Lee Green was another black dude.
Now that I see the photo, of course, I've seen the movie 100 times. And when I saw the photo, I was like, yeah, that's exactly who it is. But you're right. It wasn't until I saw the photo again this morning after reading the email. I was like, oh, yeah, of course, that's him. Once you see the face on the screenshot, you're like, yeah, I've seen that 100 times. But I don't know who – that's a good call. That's somebody's photo. This is well before CGI created faces. So that's somebody's face. And who it is, that's a great trivia.
Yeah, I wonder if he got paid to be like, you know, who this person is. I do think it resembles Chuck Wepner, but only in that every tall white guy with dark hair and a mustache kind of looked the same in the 70s.
And I will say Chuck Wepner would have said something about his photo being used or his likeness. That would have been more in his, because he already got sued, but he got money from Sly for this film as it is, like some undisclosed amount. He would have used that easily in his give me the money. Not only did you use my story, so to speak, but use my likeness in the film. There's no way. So that's not Chuck.
That's a really good point. He ends with, thanks for the great work the three of you do on the show in Ryan's Rocky voice. Appreciate it. Sincerely, Bruce L. from Minnesota.
He might be our only Minnesotan listener. I'm not even joking.
That's as close to Canadian as you can get in America, I think.
So. You know what's funny? I will say this. I have like the stats, at least from, again, we have YouTube, people watching on YouTube and people that listen on our standalone feed. So I don't get those stats. But from the last of the Action Heroes podcast stats, with all the shows that we do, we haven't had anyone from, there's a couple states that we haven't had one, not one download, not one. What's the state above Colorado and above Utah?
Wyoming?
Oh, Wyoming.
Yeah, we haven't had one from Wyoming.
Well, there's nobody. One. Nobody lives. Okay, sorry if there is anybody listening from Wyoming.
They can't. They're not listening. You can say whatever you want. They don't listen.
Nobody lives in Wyoming. It's such a low populated state.
The lowest.
What's
the lowest? Nebraska.
Kansas.
South Dakota below North Dakota. Is North Dakota borders the border? I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah, North Dakota borders Manitoba. And I think part of Saskatchewan.
I thought it was more middle states. I'm not a state.
Well, it's in the middle, like east west, but not north south.
Okay, so we haven't had one download from South Dakota.
Not surprising.
Okay, now what's the province that borders Canada between Idaho and North Dakota? What's the state there?
Between Idaho, the Montana. Oh, Montana is between Idaho, like the Idaho Panhandle and North Dakota.
So okay, those so are all very low populated states like Montana, the Dakotas, Wyoming.
For trivia, which state do you think is the number one downloaded of the show?
I'm going to say California.
New York.
Katie?
Texas. I'm guessing New York. Texas.
Texas.
Yeah. Texas is the number one state on the show. And guess who is number two is Iowa. And number three is Ohio.
Iowa?
Yeah.
That's shocking. Yeah. I mean, only because it's not a very populated, I would have picked the big populated states is what my guesses would be.
Put this way, we've had more downloads from the Philippines than we have in Wyoming.
Wyoming has like 500,000 people. Like there's fewer people.
Is that
people
all? Dang.
Yeah. There's like fewer people in Wyoming than Alaska.
Okay. Anyways, Mexico is a big one, actually. We get a lot from Mexico. The country that gets the most after the U.S. is guess which one?
It's not Canada?
No.
UK?
I'd say UK, yeah.
Yeah, it's UK.
Because there's the English-speaking bias, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little fun behind the curtain stuff. Thank you so much, Bruce. Okay. Big episode today, guys. So here we go. So of course, now we're at the sequence where Polly is walking into the pet store. We see some puppies in a cage there at the window being displayed to be adopted. Polly's coming in to talk to Adrian, give him, you know, say, hey, what's the matter with you? So we'll just...
Yo, Adrian, where are you?
Polly.
Yeah, Polly. What the hell are you doing? Yeah. What the hell are you doing?
What?
About messing up that guy over there?
Stop with me, Polly. I'm just trying to keep him safe.
Yeah, what? Well, feeding these goddamn squirrels! Huh? Did I teach you how to do that? Well, ditching the guy when he needs your help? I can't believe my ears.
You didn't teach me anything, Polly. You didn't teach me anything, and I never hurt Rocky.
Polly comes in strong here, right? This is he's kind of using his work in the docks type mentality, like he's collecting a loan from Adrian. What do you guys think?
It's old school. This is like kind of like Polly if he's had a few in the first episode.
I mean, it's her brother and she knows how he is. But yeah, I do think to some degree it's like the time, a sign of the times, because a brother, I don't have brothers, but I feel like a brother wouldn't do that to his sister now. But he's sort of always had this, like, I took care of you, I raised you, like sort of like a father figure. So he's like authoritative with her, which is strange.
I like that she kind of stood up to him in the sense, like, you didn't teach me anything, which echoes back to when she was like, I look after you, I take care of you, I pick up after you, I take care of you. It's the other way around. Like, you don't teach me stuff. We're back to this old thing again.
Polly does come in hot. He's actually coming in as a place of caring for Rocky's well-being. If you want to look at it like that, he's just equally as mad at Adrian, I guess you could say, as he is caring about Rocky's state of mind.
I don't think Polly is 100% wrong here. Of course, his methodology is wrong. No one's going to say hitting that food out of her hand and yelling at her is okay. It's not okay.
I had no idea they had squirrels there.
Feeding these squirrels? I do feed my squirrels. I freaking love squirrels.
Yeah, she is messing him up there in that sense, right? Like, it's like you're not supporting him. And I think his argument's like he's going to get hurt because he's going to go into this fight half-heartedly and something bad's going to happen to him. He has no idea how to actually have like a diplomatic conversation with her and like actually persuade her.
Sorry, this is for Katie from Louise. He saw Becky, my wife, across the camera. She was grabbing grocery bags. She's on her way to Costco. And so there's little stairs there. She has to go up and down out of the garage. And so Louise says, one of these days, I hope Ryan's wife gives him the Rocky IV stair treatment. You're always podcasting. Can't you change? Everybody else does. You can't win.
I love it. I love that.
It's true. My podcast will never win. I'm behind the Round 14 guys. I'm behind the Rocky Files, the Rocky Minute podcast. They all get more listens than me. So it's true. I don't win. So Paulie goes, you're
messing up his brain real bad. You know that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, don't tell me. He's going to get hurt because of you.
Not true. Don't say that.
I'm saying, come across and tell him it's all right. Come
it's not all right, Polly. If he goes blind, you walk away. I can't. I love him. You don't.
Great acting by both of them, really. This is a really intense. It's actually a very intense scene. You know, Talia Shire's acting here is amazing. Just say, I love him, you don't. And she slams the table out of frustration. Polly does suggest, where he says, why don't you go across the way and tell him it's okay? Imagine if she goes, you know what? I think I will. She just goes across, hey, Rocky, it's okay. You can fight. And then she goes back.
Kyle's right, though. We as a viewer, we do see both sides. Like, Polly's right. He's going to be hurt worse if he continues this way. So come and tell him it's okay. She's right also because she thinks regardless he's going to get hurt.
She's hoping he'll back up.
Do you think so?
It's a vain hope. She probably doesn't think he will.
Same because of her not giving up the coitus anymore, not making his meat anymore after training, all these things she's withholding, that he'll be like, you know what, it's not worth it.
Say if someone's doing something like immoral that you don't like or something like that, you feel like it's like you can't support them in doing that. You can't enable them doing something you find immoral or something you find maybe harms others or something like that. You're going to step away. And be like, look, I recognize that you have the right to do this. I can't be involved in this. That's kind of Adrian's state of mind, or she's like, I can't support you in doing something that I'm pretty sure is going to like seriously hurt you. In that sense, she's right too, because the beating Rocky got from that second fight should have blinded him. In the third movie, it's just ignored. In all the subsequent movies, his eyes, as far as we could tell, in all the other movies are just fine. We know the beating he gets in the second fight is way worse than the beating in the first fight. Like, you see his face is just completely torn up. If the fight actually went down that way, Adrian would have been proven right in the end.
Oh,
What are you doing?
What are you doing? What's wrong? Adrian, what's that?
You can see there in that sequence that was post-production audio that Burt Young's mouth wasn't moving there. If you go back.
Oh, good catch. Good catch. Yeah.
And you could tell the audio was coming in real strong.
Well, I love how Paulie backs away. He's uncomfortable with physical affection, even from his sister at first. He's like, whoa, what? Because she kind of tries to, I don't know, seek comfort at first. And then she realizes something is really wrong. And then only then does he like help her. But he like backs away from her like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I always find that weird. It's like, what are you doing? This is your opportunity to like for normal person, right? To like show some kind of compassion.
He does. He stops yelling and holds her and...
I'm going to turn the abuse alarm off for right now. Just sure.
I think we mistake his anger as abuse because of the result. I think we do that sometimes. Because she went into labor, you know, she's stressed out, sure.
At this very moment.
Yeah. You know, she's stressed out, but she showed signs, that, like we mentioned earlier, she showed signs of something going on earlier when she's lifting up the heavy cans of food. Polly comes in, berates her lack of, as he sees it, supporting her husband in a dangerous moment. You know, he needs her support because he's getting hurt already. So all these things added up. Then she collapses. We know she goes into a coma because of this. So I think we kind of mistakenly or maybe put too much on Polly as a result of that. He didn't put her in the coma per se. It's just exasperated wherever she was headed.
He was the catalyst.
Rob said this there, Kyle. Is this true? Rob said, I saw a slight smile from Kyle there when Adrian grabbed her stomach. What was that all about? Are you laughing at Talia Shire's pain? What's going on here?
Yes, I think it's hilarious. No, I always smile when he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Kind of funny in a fucked up way, you know?
Sure. Katie, you mentioned Rocky's shirts or Sly's outfits here, and I think I really like the shirt he's wearing here. You're actually wearing the same kind of blue shirt.
Light blue, yeah.
I think he looks great here. I think we haven't seen this before with him, this colored shirt on him, have we?
It's like the same color as his suit that he wore to the employment.
That's right. He has a rainbow of colors of the same shirt. He's got a blue one on during the coma scenes.
You notice this locker room's different than in the first film?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've never noticed that before for whatever reason, but it's clearly a different locker room. Maybe there's more than one.
That's a good catch. You're right. Mm-hmm. When he broke the locker, there are different colors too, but this could be... You're good catch, though. This is definitely different lockers.
Come on, where are your guts?
What's your problem, Mick?
My problem?
Yeah.
You got a problem, kid. You got a ticker problem. What's the matter? You got nothing left inside, huh? Because you're training like a damn bum, you know that?
Bum.
A bum.
Three bums.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I ain't got it no more.
All right.
Good call, so, Ryan. I've forgotten all that.
We have forgotten the bump count. I think it's either been we have forgotten or there hasn't been a lot of bumps between the last one and this one. So we got three right there. Bum, bum, bum. It's like bum ping pong. This scene's kind of interesting because we got Mickey coming in. Remember, he told me, I liked you better when you're carrying the spit around. So Rocky's had a shower. He's blow dried his hair. He looks so nice and clean. So Mickey's coming back again to berate him. Just comes in again. Just says, you got no heart. You got a ticker problem saying you have no heart. He really lays into Rocky here.
Then don't you waste my time no more. You hear that? Go away. Go back to the docks where you belong. You go back to being a two-bit nothing. But don't you ever come back here again because I'm too old to waste my time trying to train a no-good loser like you. You bum, babe.
Fourth bum. What are your thoughts on this ending part here, Mickey, just before the announcement of Johnny running in here, Johnny on the spot running in with the bad news. What's your thoughts on Mickey's beratement there?
It's in character with Mickey. This is the Mickey we've grown to love. You wouldn't expect him to say this in any other way, would you? Normal people would be like, hey, we gotta talk. What are you doing? What is going on with your training? If this is gonna go on like this, you could train without me. But you can't have Mickey speak like that because that's not how he thinks. That's not how he talks. He's really pissed. When your anger builds up over time, like you bite your lip, you don't say anything. When you finally do say something, all that pent-up anger comes out, and you're just letting him have it, right? And calling him a no-good loser and a bum. And Rocky is funny. He's so defeated, too. Like,
he's really...
He just takes it. Like, he doesn't even get mad.
He doesn't have the energy to fight back.
Yeah, he shows no emotion. He's literally being berated by his boss, his manager, and he's just taking it, which shows you, obviously, his headspace where he has given up. He doesn't even care enough to fight back.
agreed with everything that you guys were saying. And Mickey has tried a number of other ways, like in his Mickey ways. And so now he's right. coming into the locker room to be like, what in the actual F are you doing? But Rocky is like, he actually has like an attitude when he says that. Yeah. What's your problem, Mick? I fully agree with every single thing that Mickey said. He's like, my problem? You're the one with the problem. He lays it all out. Why are we even doing this? So, and I kind of forget that he says it. It's really important for us as a viewer to hear Mickey get that frustration out.
This is from Alistair. He said Mickey had already warned Rocky that Apollo would mess him up for a minute. That's true.
I actually once you cross the street.
Sorry.
Your wife's sick.
There's a delay on that. Go ahead.
Sorry. I actually now disagree with that because I think the more Rocky trains, the longer he's going to last in the fight and the more punishment he would take. If he trained poorly, he'd probably go down fast and he might not go down in such a way where his eyes perk. For his eye to get messed up like that again, I think it takes like 15 rounds of continuous beating.
Well, either that or one strong blow that he doesn't see coming.
That's the whole fight we actually see. Like Rocky's just standing there getting punched in the face constantly. Like it's the most frustrating fight to watch.
Okay, so we heard a little bit of the audio already. Sorry. I hit play by accident and it took so long to kick in that it kicked in during Kyle's talking. My apologies. So, of course, Johnny comes in. Rocky, something matter. What's the matter? Your wife's sick. Rocky just runs out. Off he goes. Next shot, of course, is the hospital scene in the waiting room. We got waiting for news about Adrian's condition. Now, here's this actress coming in here right now. Just, you know, I interviewed her. So go back to the Going the Distance feed. If you're listening to this and you haven't, go back to the Going the Distance. Just Google Going the Distance, Rutunia Elda. So that's Rutyana or something like that. Elda, Alda, I think. She was a real sweetheart. She was a lot of fun to talk to. She also did a movie with Burt Young, Ames DeVille Horror 2, I think, or something like that. They started that film together.
Oh.
Amy DeVille Horror or something like that. Yeah, they were in that horror film together.
I keep hearing whore, like W-H-O-R-E.
Oh, sorry, whore. That's like, my bad pronunciation. Amy DeVille Horror.
You hear what you want to hear, is that right?
Yes, right.
Yes.
Anyways, I just want to say, go listen to the interview. She has some great stories and insights from the old school of actors back in the day. She's older now, probably 70. Well, older, you know, she's in her 70s, same age as Sly. Just some great stories. But this is a little side actor. This is all she does in this film, but she agreed to come on the show. And again, check out that interview. I think it's a really great interview.
Oh, nice.
Okay, remind me later, too. I think I have a conspiracy theory on why Adrian wants Rocky to win when she wakes up.
Oh.
Mr. Balboa, I'm Dr. Cooper. The baby is fine, even though it's a month premature.
What is it?
It's a boy.
Holy smoke, I didn't know she could do it.
Yeah. Adrian wasn't capable of creating the boy child, only a female child. I don't understand what...
Yeah, she has so much estrogen and so little testosterone.
Is that what the idea
is? It just overwhelms the fetus. That's how it works, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You got to be really strong to create a boy that's so strong.
I have six kids and five of them are boys. So that makes sense. I'm just going to say, you know.
I just hate the like underlying a boy is preferable for some reason. Ugh.
Yeah. There are pros and cons. Having have both now, there's pros and cons. Ugh. Depends on the age and stage, I should say.
My daughter and I are tight. And I always wanted a daughter at the beginning, so I'm biased.
I love that. There is something extra cute, sweet with fathers with daughters. Yes, is sweet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, how's Adrian? Where is Adrian?
She's had complications.
Like what?
Your wife was hemorrhaging when she was brought in. Now, the premature delivery was most likely caused by straining of overwork, and the sudden loss of blood has caused her to slip into a coma.
So there's probably people who are watching this for the first time, whether it was in 1979 or even today for the first time, who don't know how far the character goes. And there's a chance she could die here, which would never have worked. Imagine if she died, there would have been no rematch. Like, it would have happened. Like, there's no way Rocky would have fought.
No.
This is for you, Adrian. This is for your memory.
Did it ever think it's supposed to? We're supposed to feel that gut punch as an audience that she basically blames Rocky for Adrian's state.
Yeah, it's like probably caused by overwork.
Yeah,
because you're not man enough to support the family, Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
So how do comas work again? So we have Adrian lying down. Is there no machines hooked up to people in comas? Do they just lie there like a sleep state, like Sleeping Beauty? Or?
Yeah, well, it depends. There's people, I think, that are comatose, but they have other problems. So they have to have a breathing machine. to assist them in breathing, or like a feeding tube or something like that. But my understanding is that a lot of people in a coma could just be like Adrian there.
Oh, I didn't know.
You just have to bring around someone to basically, like, I think you give them IV fluids, and I don't know how you feed them. Like, if you have to put in it's a tube weird. Every once in a while
it's
to feed
so
them.
Weird because they obviously need food still, and they have to take yeah. shites and pee still. So
well, yeah, you have to have someone come by and clean them up regularly.
So I notice things differently, obviously, watching this as an adult. When I was a kid, for some reason, I thought this coma was like a really long time, like weeks. I think it's only like it's 2 days.
It might be 2 to 5, because if you want to watch Rocky's beard growth, because at the end of the sequence, I think, I don't know quite how they did it. Maybe they filmed the ending first, have Rocky or Sly come in, and he had a bit of stubble, because mm-hmm. when the baby was given to him, he had a bit of stubble, which indicate at least, you know, Italians, I think growth they grow rest, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
But so 2 to 5 days, like Monday to Friday, there is no real indication how long it's been.
The reason I think it's only a couple of days is because he wears the 5 o'clock shadow. So I don't know, a couple of days. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but he doesn't change his clothes, meaning he's not ever left to go take a shower or
That's
anything.
That's a good point. If you want to look at it that way, he hasn't showered. He's wearing the same clothes. Let's say Monday to Wednesday, Monday to Thursday type thing.
Always thought it was like forever because there's a lot of movie time that covers it. But so I'm wondering if the hospital is like, well, we'll see how long this coma lasts. We don't need to start some sort of feeding tube until it's been so much time. Perhaps.
Do you think Rocky helps wipe her butt, or does he let the staff do that? Or
I don't think he does. No.
Okay.
My wife and I have such a big disagreement over stuff like this. My wife's family, it's like a great indignity to have a stranger do something like that to you. Where in my family, it's a great indignity to have a family member do something like that.
Well, I'd much rather have a stranger do it than a person I care about.
I love my family. I love my parents. I love my brothers. I love my wife. But I'm paying somebody to take care of them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're all in agreement here. But
bless your wife. I'll watch movies too. Where I'm actually just watching a movie the other day where the daughter, her father was an invalid. It's a movie called Pearl, by the way. If anyone's seen the movie Pearl, it's great. I really enjoyed it. Anyway, so she is kind of taking care of her father. It's like 1918, you know, and he's in a wheelchair. And the mother was like, "Go take care of your father. Go clean him up." And she's like 18. Ugh. Go bathe your dad. And I'm watching this. And of course, they don't show it, but the task is done off screen type thing. But I'd be like, Mom, I'll go milk the cows. I'll sweep the barn. Come on. I'm not taking my dad out of the wheelchair and bathing him. Anyway, so bless people's hearts that could do that. I'm just not wired that way. You know, I can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. In these situations too, what I call the shit hits the fan moments in your life where something really messed up happens like this, it's really interesting how like your priorities and focus in your life just switches all of a sudden. I imagine if I'm in Rocky's shoes and my baby's born in this circumstance and my wife is in a coma, for this moment, I don't care about the fight.
Oh, for Apollo. Sure.
No.
I don't care about that. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what Mickey thinks. I don't care what Polly thinks. I'm in this mode right now. Like, this is what really matters to me. And it's funny. We all know what happens here, right? What Adrian says when she wakes up. But I could just as easily see Rocky having a change of heart at the end of this, thinking that the life and health of your spouse is the most important thing.
Well, he can then see.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, I now understand now what it's like, what you're feeling, Adrian, knowing what it's like to have your spouse potentially be an invalid or something like that happens, where Rocky maybe is in a coma after getting his face caved in by Creed. And I think you're right, Ryan. That's why he says that. If you don't want me mixing with Creed anymore.
Yeah, I think that's probably what would end up happening in real life. If this weren't a movie, if Rocky were a real person.
I'll share my conspiracy theory now. I think Rocky, Adrian wants him to fight because she knows the hospital bill from this thing is going to be being enormous.
That's legit.
What do you think the chances are that they have insurance?
Zero.
The pet shop has good benefits, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the pet shop has pet shop disease insurance. That's what it is. That's all it covers. Okay, so Rocky comes in and says,
"It's me. I said you're very sick, but I don't want to believe that. I believe you're just tired, you know. Don't worry about nothing. You just sleep as long as you want, okay? Because I'm going to be here when you wake up.
That's tough. You know, that's his love. That's the only thing he loves more than anything in the world. And obviously they haven't been seen eye to eye in the home. But seeing her like this, he realizes, just like we said, that all that matters is her.
We shit a lot in this movie for, like, Rocky has to be the man's man and has to, like, do all these masculine roles and stuff like that. But I really do appreciate that Sly, when he writes this, is willing to be vulnerable and does a crying scene. Yeah. And he's had more than one of those.
He does a lot of crying, Rocky. Cried,
and he's really good at it. And
yes, good. He is. It's hard to pretend to cry. Men are not the best criers. We're generally like fighting it.
Yeah. Right.
Fighting it back. And then when it comes out, it's like, rah!
But people make fun of his cry acting. And I'm like, have you actually watched it though? It's really moving. Like, I get teary eyed watching him act.
Yeah, he does a great job crying here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But his cry in the third movie is like really intense. Where it's like, I could see how it could make you uncomfortable. But like, this is to me a pretty natural cry.
Yeah,
it's really well done.
So he tells Agent to sleep, get your rest, and I'll be here the whole time. Somebody knocks at the door.
Have you ever heard of like people in a coma say that like they can hear you the whole time?
They get out of the coma and say, yeah, I heard the conversations you guys were having.
Maybe Adrian can hear him right now.
Yeah.
I've heard of stories where people talk shit to the person. Oh, like, geez, say it's a spouse where they love them, but they're like really resentful that they're in this coma and their life's being fucked up. And they have a bad moment and they say something out of anger or they don't really mean it.
Well, it's a terrible time. Like, it brings.
Yeah.
My mother had a great saying or a little rhyming saying that she used to say all the time, when we stress, we digress. So it's
hey, natural. That's cool.
Yeah, she always said, when we stress, we digress. It's not really who you are,
yeah,
but you can digress a bit when you're under stress. Yeah,
for sure.
Hey, I like that. I'm gonna use that phrase now.
So is Polly walking in?
You're not doing any good.
Polly coming in and saying, let's go, Rocky. We're not doing any good here. I get Rocky wanting to be there for that emotional support. Polly's not wrong. Rocky actually being here, in my view, doesn't get the person out of the coma any quicker. It'd be like me standing over your root canal. I can stand over your root canal. It's not going to change the procedure. The doctor's going to have to take care of it, or the dentist is going to pull out your root canal, whatever. So I know coma might be tricky because we're just saying, that, do they hear you? Do they not hear you? Are they aware? I don't know. People said otherwise. I'm sure people come out and say, I didn't hear a thing. I don't remember anything. If I was in a coma, for the record, nobody has to hang around my bed. You know, like a freaking spider all day. You know, you don't have to hang around all day. Just go do your thing, and the doctor will text you if I wake up. You're just looking at me going like this.
I would draw penises on your face with chalk.
Please. I guess this is a tough question everyone has to ask themselves. Like, you know, who's the loved one? How long do you stay?
Rocky's not staying for her as much as he's staying there for him. He's processing this. It's going to mess you up to be there. It's probably best that you're not there.
That's just right. It. Like, for my own mental health, like, I would come and visit every day, but I can't hang out for 8 hours looking at the lying body. I don't know how
long. And I don't think Becky or most spouses would, if they knew you felt that way, would want you there all day either.
It does seem like there's an unspoken sense of obligation to do so. I agree with you, Ryan. And I actually love Polly in these scenes. We see a much softer, actually compassionate side of him where he's actually trying to support Rocky here, whether what he says is true or not. It almost doesn't matter. He's just like, he's just trying to say anything he can to help Rocky get his mind elsewhere.
Yeah. Paul is not wrong. Mm-hmm. Rocky, there's nothing we can do here.
Rocky, come on. You're not doing any good.
Good.
Let's go see the kid. Adrian,
no, we gotta see him together. Okay. We gotta see him together.
That's another big discussion point, I guess, is what do you do in this situation? Your wife's in a coma from delivering the baby. Do you, as a father, or as the other spouse, I should say, do you see the baby with your partner in a coma? Yes or no?
We're in the 70s. Things are different. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, this is when the baby's in that room with all the other babies. That does not work like that anymore. There's a lot of science behind this too. Bonding with your parents after you're born is really important, specifically actual skin-to-skin contact. I would have him have skin-to-skin contact with Adrian, also skin-to-skin contact with me, But like, I have very, very strong feelings about my kids feeling abandoned or anything like that. There is no way I would ever allow my son or daughter to be in some room with a bunch of kids alone and not having their parents there, and not having someone who loves and supports them there with them all the time. I'd be on that kid like flies on shit.
That's fair.
Do you feel the same way, Ryan?
My curiosity alone would overcome me, that I'd have to see this kid. But I just want to say about the skin-to-skin contact. You know, I'm trying to get along with my coworkers a little bit better, so I've been pressing my face up against their chest at work. I'm trying to connect with them a little bit better, right? You know,
if I could smell your pheromones, I'd probably connect with you on a deeper level.
Way to bring it full circle, guys.
Oh, man. My son was born in our living room. We had a planned home birth. I actually caught him out of the womb.
Football?
Yeah. He got shot out of there. I was the first to hold him. It was pretty cool.
But that is actually really cool.
Rocky's, in my mind, and I'm sorry, maybe I'm this is some presentism I'm doing here, but it's like you're already failing the fatherhood game.
From the get-go.
And there's more failures to come, but I'm like,
oh boy.
Maybe this is why you and your son
don't always. They never had the skin-to-skin contact to develop a bond.
Oh boy.
Polly does point out that it's what Adrian would want.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, Rock, let's go see the kid, which is probably true. So how long are you going to hold off seeing the kid?
Right. Let's say she dies.
God, that kid would be so fucked a month if she died.
Yeah,
can you imagine the kid being raised by Polly?
This is my new conspiracy theory. Polly, while not doing skin to skin, I think may have seen the kid earlier. You'll notice that Robert and Polly are always kind of close. You know what I mean? Like they were close in the third film.
That's right.
And then like he moved in with Polly and like Polly trained him and stuff when Rocky wasn't there. So you know how a bird sees someone and thinks it's their mother or whatever? Maybe Polly showed up and Robert, deep in his brain, associated Polly as his real father.
That could be. Can you imagine what this kid's life would be if he didn't have Adrian around? We can see that if you watch The Champ 1979, as I mentioned, that's literally the case. Like the kid is.
Well, we will be watching that on our boxing podcast, which we have to figure out a name for that one, for that podcast. So Polly does decide to hang out with Rocky. So the next sequence here is their. We're supposed to see the time has passed. They're waiting by side of the bed, Polly and Rocky. And Nurse Ratchet comes in.
Mr. Balboa, visiting hours are over.
Can I stay? I'll be quiet.
I don't want to wake the coma patient.
She's a lot nicer than the nurse that came in earlier in the film when Rocky was in the hospital and Polly was there.
I think it might be the same actress, to be honest with you.
Really?
I think so.
Hospital rules.
I can't do it anymore. Just watching stuff.
Yeah, I feel the same way, though I wouldn't say it. I would feel the same way.
What Polly actually said is, I need to get a drink, is what he really meant by that.
So Rock asked, do you have a chapel? Which most hospitals, do they have chapels? I don't know. Is that
probably.
A lot of hospitals are religious, or at least used to be religious.
Mm-hmm. Depends on the area. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of Catholic hospitals here, and I'm pretty sure they have chapels.
It is like a, I don't know if it's Catholic or some sort of religious hospital. It's like affiliated because they do have crucifix on the walls. So
yeah, you're right. It probably is a Catholic. Catholic healthcare is enormous. Like, I used to do investing for some of the Catholic healthcare. Lots of old age homes, lots of hospitals. Hospitals are a relatively new invention in human history. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of the religions that started doing hospitals. I think that's why there's so many religious hospitals.
That makes sense.
The chapel.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. I guess that's 24/7, the chapel. Gives her a kiss.
And then.
Good night. So Rocky's in this beautiful chapel here. Well,
fight this guy hard.
That's a solid chapel right there.
It is big if it's the church chapel for sure.
You mean the hospital chapel?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
it looks like a church chapel. There's no way. Is this really in the hospital or this is a huge hospital? It could just be a huge hospital.
Oh, actually, just fun fact. Philadelphia is home to America.
Yes, I'm so sorry. Yes, it's okay. My doorbell keeps ringing. It's probably like the neighbor kids always throw their toys over the fence. It's probably who they're probably like, oh. You know, yeah.
So your ring cam's alerting you?
Yes.
Okay. So the door opens. I'll warn you, by the way, that door opens behind you.
Someone comes behind heads you. Up.
Fun fact, Philadelphia was the city with America's first hospital.
Oh.
Really? Well, that would make sense because Philadelphia's old.
Kind of a big deal. The original capital of the United States.
Was it?
Oh.
Yes. I did some tours in Philadelphia. Independence Hall and all that area there.
Oh, cool.
It was neat.
I saw a video on Twitter. Somebody filmed Kensington Street in Philly right now.
Oof. Is it rough?
We have those streets in Canada too, like East Hastings in Vancouver would be an example of that.
That's the worst area in all of Canada, by the way.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yes. Okay. It is messed up.
If you look at this video from the Philly, it's horrible.
Like Skid Row.
This is sad. I mean, obviously, it's mental health and old drugs and everything. It's just sad. Oh, yeah. I do want to say I made this video. Of course, you guys already watched and enjoyed it with the. Everyone's probably seen the meme of this kind of funny looking black guy with bulging eyes. And the question is asked, what are you doing here? And he's like, who? Me? Nothing. No, just hanging around. People have seen this meme on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram probably. So I created my own and I put it on my Facebook socials. I mean, it's not getting the heat that I think it deserves. I made this thing.
It's funny.
When I see these memes that go around that are being reused for different things, I try to think, how can I make this for a Rocky? Like I try to make it for the podcast. How can I make this for the podcast? Anyway, so you can't really do it for an audio podcast. So check out my Facebook or whatever, guys, or see if you can find it. But that's, and the meme was, this guy was asked, you know, what are you doing here? And it's supposed to be Lou Filippo for the Rocky Drago fight. What are you doing here? Nothing. I'm just standing around. Some people were commenting like, oh, I thought he pushed the ref. People are misunderstanding the point. The point is that really Lou did nothing to stop the damage and death of Apollo. He had the absolute authority to stop the fight in general. Like, I know he got pushed away. Around. In all the Rocky fights, he just hangs around. He doesn't do it. Anyways, I don't like to create memes and stuff and think I'm going to get a lot of traction, but I was really proud of this one. I'm like, come on, Rocky community. Come on. give me some love on this. Anyways, okay. I just want to say again to join my Patreon. What do you get in the Patreon? What's going to happen is once we stop recording, I'm deleting this video off of Facebook, off of Twitter, everything. So people can watch it live and comment live like they have, but I'm going to delete it. So nobody's going to be able to watch it after we stop going live. The only people that can watch this full unedited live version will be people on Patreon. And then I edit it and then I get the early release out if I can on Patreon as well. So that's what the Patreon people get, is if they miss the live stream, they get to watch the video unedited early, ready to go. But thank you to everyone who joined us live. But like once we stop, it's going to be deleted. It's not going to be on our socials anymore. Yeah. I think that's it. You guys have anything to say before we end it? We'll do part two of the coma next week. So yeah, next week will be part two. Just like Bruce said, how do you guys drag this out for 18 episodes? I guess this is how.
How much do you pay to carry this episode?
Yeah, how much do you pay to carry this episode? People seem to like it. I mean, I know some episodes go by faster than others, but this is what we do. We hang out. We're a bunch of silly guys and gals, and we appreciate everyone that joins us in chat. Well, with that, the episode's over.
I didn't hear no bell.